This episode of the RMR Training Podcast is brought to you by Resolute Coffee. So if you've heard of Resolute Coffee and you've wanted to give it a try, but you're not sure where to start, I'm going to break it down for you. So if you like your coffee to be like a straightforward coffee taste, chocolatey, what you know traditionally as coffee, something clean and nice, what you're going to want to look for is the processing, and it's going to be washed. Wash takes all of the fruit off of the bean, so you're left with just a straightforward coffee bean. And then you get those straightforward flavors. If that's what you're looking for, the Black Condor from Resolute is for you. If you want something a little bit more exotic, something a little bit more fruit forward, something a little bit more unexpected, something a little bit more of an adventure in your cup, then you want to look at that process, and natural is going to be probably the most fun type of cup. You're going to get a lot more fruit forward flavors. Natural leaves a lot of that fruit from the coffee on the bean, so when you get the, so when you make the actual coffee itself, you get some of those fruit flavors. The natural Ethiopian, that's the bomb here. If you want something, some sort of blend of both, there's a hybrid processing called a honey process, which leaves some of the fruit onto the coffee bean. So it's like a natural, like a half and half type of natural and washed processing. The Aponte honey or any honey processing is going to be awesome for you. Whichever one you go with, it's going to be top quality stuff. RR20 at checkout for 20% off. Or if you want to try them all, they have the, you can join the Crush It Club and you get a variety of 5 bags and a mug. So check that out. Link down in the show notes.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the RMR Pod with your hosts, Rich Ryan, Worlds Qualified.
Woo!
Ryan Kent, Worlds Qualified. And Megan Jacoby, also Worlds Qualified. The squad is going to Worlds Elite Race Friday night, Nice in June. We are hype.
It's about damn time. Jesus Christ.
Oh my.
He didn't even have to do that last chance qualifier, be all stressed about it.
Nope.
He locked that motherfucker in.
Tried to make it interesting on those wall balls, but it was just Kent behind me anyway. And so I knew Kent was there. I was like, this dude's going to take 4.5, 5. I'm just going to take my time here. Get across
those
that line.
Races on Friday night were the most exciting races I think we've probably ever seen in Hyrox, like ever, maybe.
I think that that's
fair. There was just so much. It was so dramatic because stuff just changed so much during that race. And I feel like we don't typically see that happen that like to that level in these major races. I mean, certainly in the women's side, maybe more so on the women's side than the men's, but there was just so much changing happening. It was an emotional roller coaster, I must say.
The women's
How'd
race.
How do y'all feel about it?
Yeah, very much. I mean, I didn't catch everything and I haven't gone back and watched yet.
Oh, get the F out of here.
Oh, I watched mine. I haven't watched the women's yet.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Kent was like, if we were going to try to watch it after, I was trying to watch it after the race on Friday. Kent was like, we can't do that, dude. You can't watch this thing here. I was like,
yeah,
all right, I'll wait till you're out of the hotel. I'll watch it tomorrow. But it was wild. Even in the women's race, like it was like Lauren went out and then came back and then everybody was there again. And it was like Linda. And then, she came back.
Yeah.
That was crazy. That was really fun.
It was crazy.
We weren't really had a good chance to talk yet, Meg. We just were busy.
Yeah. We all had family in.
We all had family in town, East Coast race, yeah. Kind of in that like mid-Atlantic area. So from both directions, our family could come up, which was great. Really yeah. Nice to, I got to meet both of your families for the first time, really, which is amazing. Wish we got to spend a little bit more quality time with the Jacobies, but they were off.
Huh. The Jacobies are intense. My mom is like the sweet lady who's like, great job, everyone. And then my dad, I could hear him screaming from a complete across the venue yelling to me, dictate my God. Literally just like that, screaming. Like, there is not a single person who was at that race who does not know who my father is. I was like,
that's how my dad was too.
Huh?
That's how my dad was too.
Yeah.
The loudest person in the arena.
Yeah. So you could hear him about both of us. Actually, now that I know you well, this is adding up. We had those real intense dads at the sporting events, probably rolling their eyes at us half the time. You know, you could feel the energy. Sometimes not always positive.
There was one time my dad was cheering for me in a race, and it had to have been a track meet, because every time I came around, I would see him. And there was one time where he kept saying something to me every time I came around, and I was having a bad day. And I remember looking directly in his eyes as I passed him, and I said, "Shut the fuck up."
I can so relate to
nice car ride home.
Yeah.
But the energy was great in that place, you know.
Megan
particularly, I knew where you were at during the race, so I was getting good energy from you during that piece. And my parents were on the far side too, so I could see them as well. And Luca was out there giving some good vibes for sure. It's nice to race on home soil.
Yeah, it is.
Felt way better than Vienna.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it was a battle out there among the women for sure. I, you know, when I look at it, I'm not sure really any of us had like a great day. Like, really, none of us seemed to be
Rich had
doing
a
well.
Great day. Rich PR'd
on the women's race.
Oh, I thought you meant between us three.
No. Obviously, sorry. Rich had an all-time PR. So that's Rich had a Rich Ryan world record. So that's amazing.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm clearly not paying attention. So
no, you're zoned out. But the women,
it didn't seem like anyone was really having like a great day. Like it was, there was so much shuffling happened really, literally until the end. Like
and even
in the wall balls. Like I came in the wall balls third. I obviously finished third, but I only finished third by like 5 seconds, which was like literally two wall balls. And I started not two wall balls behind. So like,
meaning you almost got second. Yeah. What was your split?
3:11.
Oh, nice. It's going to be between 3:10.
Yeah.
3:10, like 3:15. Yeah. It's generally what you'll have.
But I felt like that's why when I saw the time, I was kind of surprised, because I felt like I was going so fast. Like I'd never gone that fast before. That's how I felt like during. And I don't know if it was just because of like the pressure of it, but yeah, I don't know. I'm from the standpoint of third, like I hate being in third. Like I hate that. That sucks for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really proud of how much I fought, and like I fought to the end, and I was cramping horribly on the lunges. Like that was the worst lunge time I've ever had in my life. I've never done lunges that slow. If anybody knows me, they know usually I'm first, if not second at the worst, typically in lunges. And I don't know what was going on, but I had to do the half steps. That's so unlike me. I was really, really struggling there. So I don't know if I was just having like a sodium issue, but, like I fought through that and fought hard, and like, I can like live with it, you know? And I think you realize, not that these don't mean anything, but like the big thing is Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my sights are set, and I will be fucking ready.
It's the postseason. It's the regular season ended. Now we're in that postseason. So that's what happened.
And that's all that matters.
You were cramping on that. Like, it looks like your farmers was a little bit rough.
My farmer, during the farmers and the lunges, my legs were, I was really struggling. And the only reason, and it's like, it was like my calves super bad. And the only reason that I can do the wall balls and not have that issue, like affecting me is because I don't go up on my toes at all.
Mm-hmm. And the runs were rough.
The bounce. Yeah.
Yeah, the runs are looking kind of rough at that point too.
Yeah. I mean, I think everything was pretty rough at the back end, but anyway. It was not a pleasant feeling, but
similar to what it was in like Manchester, you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
The same exact feeling.
Huh.
Yeah. So I don't know. Something that I clearly need to work on. I mean, I've raced a few times this year, hadn't have that happen at all. So yeah, so I don't know. But on to your race.
Well, I have a question.
Okay.
And if you don't want to answer it on air, you don't have to.
Uh-oh. But okay.
It's completely out of left field, this question. I wonder what this is going to be. It's going to be not even race related.
No, it's race related. But we talked about strategy for this race.
Yeah.
And what we thought might happen. And that if Lauren raced the way she did last time, you needed to be ready for that move, right?
Yeah.
And Rich and I are back at the hotel watching. I think we watched all the way until the push before we walked over to the venue. So we're just on the phone checking it out. And like it happened the exact way that we thought it was going to happen. And Rich and I are standing there in the room when it happened saying, "Go, Meg, go. That's the move. It's happening. Go." And you didn't respond.
Yes, and I did.
I'm a little bit.
Yes, I did. I was not far behind her at all.
Rich, what happened on the run after ski?
It looked like she got away from you.
She was not far ahead of me at all.
Huh.
I mean, a few seconds, not even five.
So you put in like that effort to.
Yep.
To go. Good.
And Lauren and I both did not well on the sled push or pull. We were eighth. And
yeah, that was interesting.
And she said to me after at the end of the race, "Did you feel like our lanes weren't good?" And I said, "Well, it seemed like it took us an awful long time compared to everyone else."
Because Viola and Linda had a pretty good push, I think.
Yep.
Viola, for sure.
So again, like these are things like beyond our control at that point. But I mean, I wasn't out of the mix at all, you know, even sled pull, even burpees. She had 100 meters on me on the row. And that was it. So
looks like she was 9 seconds on you from 8 seconds, I'm sorry. Before ski erg into sled push.
Okay. I mean that's I don't know. Not very far.
No,
it was a gap that I was managing. Like it was like a manageable gap where I wasn't letting her get like too far ahead, but
okay. So wait. Yeah, it was about the same. About the same from Vienna. She's had a monster push in Vienna.
Yes.
And that's where the gap really got
right
bigger.
But anyway, yeah, I don't know. Like I just don't care about this race at all. Like I'm just over it and I'm moved on. So
you happy it's over?
Yeah, I'm just ready to just train.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just ready to like take a couple days of chill, like let the mind get back to like the instinct of like training and gearing up for one really specific thing. Because honestly, when I'm able to do that, that's when I'm at my absolute best. And even last season, it was kind of that way as well. So I'm just ready to be, you know, I love the training. So I'm ready to like train, have time to train without interruptions, because I think that's arguably like the hardest part about racing as much as we do is like managing how to be training and gearing up for something and racing in between. And that's why it's like, you just kind of have to look at this race as like, well, this is just a workout and it doesn't define me. And like, it's just, it is what it is, you know?
This is really the first time that we've had a season like this where, yeah. So like understanding the ebbs and flows of it and what it needs, what needs to be done to be as prepared as possible for one specific event. It's like instead of four over the course of, what was it, November to March. You know, it's hard to it's hard to say like if that was going to work, right? And I think it was kind of a quicker turnaround. The turnaround felt quicker from Chicago to Vienna than I thought it was going to feel.
Me too.
It seemed like there was time there, but it wasn't. It wasn't adequate.
Yeah, I agree.
Kind of how I feel.
How about you, Ken? How do you feel about it?
About the race?
Just yeah. The race,
the top,
how much time we had in Europe.
I thought it was fine. Yeah. I think it was an issue with it.
Which part? Which one? Which question did you
ask? I was already, the one I was talking about after Chicago, because I was already in like obviously great shape. So it wasn't like I needed a shit ton of time to like prep for Vienna, you know?
But there was not enough time to rest.
I think it's more just like it's also hard to maintain that fitness for another 8 weeks, try to peak again for another eight. Like how many times can you actually peak in a season?
In like a year?
Yeah. Like I don't know.
Three or four.
I think three is like pushing it.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of do too. So.
Something might have happened to your microphone.
You don't hear me?
I hear you, but it sounds like it's doesn't sound like as crystal clear. You deal with that. But I think, yeah. I mean, two is obvious, like one, of course. Like two, I think is manageable. That's better. But yeah, three seems like a lot. Unless it's like even if it's like a like for the athletes who now have to do last chance qualifier, and if this was me, I was gonna have to try to peak for that kind of, and then maybe try to hold on to that for 3 weeks. So maybe there's, but I don't know how that would have went, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe there's a peak within a block to have maybe two A races within a certain set amount. Like if you did Olympic trials and then Olympics, kind of how that works.
Right.
But having three builds and peaks seems like a lot because there's no rest. It's hard to get rest in there.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. All right, Rich, your turn. Give us the rundown.
I just ran the race, ran past just Kent.
Did the damn thing.
Ran past Kent, and I was like, I got this now. I was like, now it doesn't even matter what happens. It's like where I finish.
Yeah.
I had a good sled push. I had a good sled push and pull.
You did.
Felt good about it. Came out. And after the sled push, Luca told me I was like, 12 seconds back from the front. And sometimes I can give up like a minute on the push. So I was like, I'm in a great spot. I actually had a thought, I was like, I can win this race. But Dylan was just on a next level, man. He was.
Yeah. Hard.
His running was like real impressive. When I was watching the live stream, he looked like really good throughout. He was just on a different level that day. And I told myself going into it, like I just wanted it to be this like kind of suffer fest that I am going to sit through. And I told myself before the race, it's like after burpee broad jumps from then on, it's just doing things I don't want to do. And then in my head, I was like, it's going to be about 28 minutes of just extreme discomfort that I'm prepared to sit in and have it be feeling awful. And that's basically what it was. When I got into row, I was like, oh man, like I'm in a good position. I'm in third right now. Like I can't back off of this. I want to back off so bad, but I can't. And same thing on to Farmers. I was like, this feels like the worst thing I've ever done. But then Lucas and Colin were breaking. I was like, I can't break. And same thing on the lunges. I got there and just was managing and matching everybody. And then just was able to run well. And the wall balls were like good enough. They're not where they need to be for that. That was as bad as I've ever felt in wall balls. Like my legs actually felt hammered. And usually it's my body or like, it's just like, I don't really want to go to that place or my shoulders are real fatigued and that's what causes it. But my legs were just blasted by then.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I'm just really proud of like being able to know what I need to do in terms of execution not even just like the, usually I try to make an execution like X's and O's, right? Like if I can be at this time or do this type of thing or execute this station this way, then I'll be in a better spot. Well, this time the execution came down to just really sitting in it and just being tough, right? Like it was not about fitness. Everybody's fit at that point. It was just about knowing how bad it was going to be. And I felt like I was braced for how uncomfortable it was going to feel. It was worse than I thought, for sure. But I was able to just kind of stick with it and put myself in the fight. And yeah, it feels good to have like a goal accomplished this way. Like the qualifying for Worlds is great, right? Like, but that's just like another race. But that I told myself, here's what I need to do. And then following through with that, that feeling is like really powerful. You know, it's like, okay, wow. Like I did something that I set out to do that wasn't easy. It wasn't just like a small notch in progression. It was like from a really bad race to almost the complete opposite side. And now it's like, okay, now what else? What else can I do? How much bigger can these goals get? And not just on the racing front, but like anything. You know, it's like having a goal and then being able to work toward it and having it be really hard to accomplish is just like that was what I feel like the best about now. You know, it's great that we're going to go hang out in Nice, you know?
Yeah.
We're going to be able to race for the world championships, but just like nailing a goal that is really hard feels awesome. Like that's really where I'm riding right now. Now we got to do it. Now we got to do it again.
Congratulations, bro.
Thank you. Whew. Yeah, it feels good. And it's going to be fun to just train and work our way up to it, you know, like and be able to go through it together, like what this build is going to be like. And I think we're set up in a good spot just because we have such a, we're a squad.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I think that these last chance qualifiers are going to be wild.
Crazy.
Like, I'm so glad that you do not have to go through that.
Oh my God, I know.
That stress. Like,
I
really am looking forward to watching these races, but like, I would not be looking forward to be participating in that. So
I was feeling pretty lucky after kind of seeing how everything kind of shook out and how Graham was able to make that monster comeback. He put like 40 seconds on me in wall balls, which is like unacceptable. But like, I was feeling kind of fortunate because those did not go that well. So I could have easily ended up in fourth, and how awful I would feel about that, you know,
yeah,
like with the same kind of effort. But instead, I'm just kind of fortunate to have that get done. When I rewatched it, I broke twice in the last 15 reps. And like, that's just, like, I know, it's just not what you got to do. And it was like $1,500 between third and second. Those breaks were $750. And in the moment I was like, worth it. I'll pay it. This is fine.
Worth it.
This is so, worth I feel it. So bad. But yeah, I just couldn't summon it. Like I wanted to have like this mindset into it that was just gone by then. I think I just used it. Or just like couldn't remember like the things I'd gone through in training in those moments. So that needs to be cleaned up a little bit. So there was like 2 minutes of just like almost making it there. I said 28, I got like 26 out of myself.
Yeah.
But next time.
That happens to you often on wall balls. I feel like every time I see you, you're like, I was doing these wall balls and between reps 50 and 60, I broke 3 times. And I'm like, what?
Right.
Like, I don't know why that happens to you, especially at the end when like you've already done it. It's done. Like just finish out 15 and go punch your ticket to Nice.
I know. And I was
like, you would have been so pissed.
Oh, I'd have been beside myself.
Let's just say like, even if I would have had like the wall balls that I had in Chicago, I might have been right there. Or if Colin would have done wall balls up to his potential, like that could have gotten a little dicey there.
Yeah, it was dicey. Yeah. Well, I knew Lucas was rough at this point of the race and his wall balls at the last in Vienna didn't go very well. So I didn't think he was going to have a good set. And Colin, it wasn't going well for him. And I knew it wasn't going well. And I knew I had reps on him and I could hear, I don't think I knew it was you there between, I didn't know you came in between in front of Lucas coming into wall balls, Kent. But I heard the ball, I heard balls just like falling at like a regular cadence. So it's like, okay, no one's killing this, which is like on me to just not worry about what other people are doing, just kind of be like present in my own race. But I was kind of outside of it. And like, if people were taking breaks, I was like, okay, cool. Like then I can take a break. And then freaking Graham is not taking breaks. He was just tougher than everybody on those wall balls that day.
Mm-hmm.
I think he intentionally slowed down on that run going into wall balls so that he could gather himself.
Oh, you think so?
Because I noticed that I was pulling away from him like big time on that run between lunges and wall balls. I was like, did dude just throw in the towel? Like I assumed he just threw in the towel, but no, he was just saving himself up. Yeah, but it was kind of crazy, like, you know, I hate to be the only one here or only one other than Rich to complain, I guess, about
the race. I'm not complaining about anything. Hyrox is great.
Sorry, I mean, I'm going to complain about my race. You have good things to say about your race.
Okay, let's hear about your race.
For as bad as it was for me, I couldn't believe that I came. I was like, I'm kind of teetering between sixth and seventh. And then I come into wall balls and I'm like 8 seconds behind second place. I was like, damn, if I could just somehow do 100 right now or like one big set to like 75 and then a final 25, I'm like, damn, dude, for as bad as this day's been, I might be able to snag second place. It was kind of cool to be like Meg was saying earlier, which is how tight everything was.
I had the same experience because I came in just barely in third. I did not know how bad the wall balls were going for Linda until like I had like 80 to go and I was at 80. I had 20 to go. And I was like, how is she not done? You know what I mean? Like in my head, I was like, how is she not done? And I vividly remember myself like turning it up a whole dial. And I was like, you better get these fucking done. Like you might be able to get second, but like, it wasn't until the very end of the wall balls almost that I even knew or like comprehended that, like it was that tight between me and her. I thought she had a huge lead going in. So I assumed like, all right, I'm locking in third. And then it was 6 seconds, I think. I was at 98 when she finished. And I was like, what the hell happened? Like,
jeez.
I was thinking the same thing with Colin to the left of me, you know, like,
yeah,
I was getting closer to 100 and I noticed he was still there doing reps. And I'm like, is this going to be another Toby situation at Worlds right now? Yeah. Like, what's going to go down? And then, like, I was doing like 95, 96. 97, I'm like just waiting for Colin to turn and like sprint. And I got to 100 and he was still there. And I thought I was like, holy shit, I just snagged third. Didn't realize that Graham had done 100 unbroken and swooped by not only me, but Rich as well.
Yeah. But yeah. You didn't see him go through?
Did not see him at all, man.
I heard it. I knew it was somebody. I didn't know who it was. I was like, oh. But. Yeah, $750 breaks. It's too much. Won't happen this time. Won't happen
again. I will say, I feel like just in talking with people after the race, there were a significant amount of no reps happening at the wall balls, especially for depth. So for anyone listening, your shit's got to be below parallel, period.
Gonna get called.
Parallel stuff. The rule is below. They are really calling it. There were so, like I said, there were so many no reps happening. And as there should be, especially
both
in
a genders no- or just dudes, huh? Both genders or just dudes,
both for sure.
I heard something interesting at the venue. I forget who was telling me, but I don't know if it's that they're going to try to work on some sort of sensor. for both hitting the target and for depth. Like, there's going to be a camera that is going to be able to like do it by itself. Like, it's going to take like the judging out of it.
Wow. That's well, crazy. That's
if it's accurate,
it's can say anything about it, I guess.
Right. If it's accurate, that's it.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Did you guys get no reps? Meg, do you ever get no reps on wall balls? Throwing too high?
No. I mean, if it's a no rep, it's because it like didn't hit perfect at the top, but it's very rare. I might get like one the whole time. If that, I didn't get any no reps Friday.
Yeah, I don't get called on depth. Like, I'll miss the target. I'll just like
run. It's like, or it'll be like a tiny bit off, or it like won't
hit under the middle or something. Yeah.
But it won't like fully hit it, but it's like the right fight or whatever. That's like really, I mean, obviously, you know, why go deep? So it's certainly not because of that. But
can't you get hit with any?
Mm-mm.
Nice.
Probably could have. We talked about that.
Not on the podcast,
but
I don't know. I think I got two or three, and they probably could have given me maybe two or three more just by missing the target.
Yeah.
But if this sensor situation happens, I think that'll be great. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if it's the most honest way, I'm sure it's very hard to judge that in like the heat of that type of race where it's like, there's like eight people lined up and it's like, they're all battling for spots. And it's like, there's the judges probably have just as much as adrenaline going on as we do. Like, I don't know. I would imagine that
could be hard. It's hard.
I would not want to judge wall balls. Like,
yeah,
please. No one probably
would want me to judge their wall balls because my standards are so high that I'd be like, nope. Like, I'd probably be a real stiffler about
I don't want that blonde girl as my judge.
I thought the judging was on it. I really liked the judging.
Yo, your homeboy calling me out. For one, I wasn't doing anything wrong. We were told that we could step on the front tape. We just couldn't step past it.
So at the judges meeting, because I asked him about this, because I was like, yeah, way to give it to Kent on that. That was great. Kent, and you were like, no, he was telling us both. And I was like,
the sled pull behind the fucking line.
I was behind it too. But we were told at the briefing, because that was a question specifically that we asked, was because we were wondering about it. It's like, and it's a little funny, right? Like, it's like, what is out of bounds? Is it on the line or is it past the line for the box and the sled pull? And the answer we got on the way back, it is, if you're touching the line, that's out of bounds. But in the front of the box, if you're touching the line, that is in bounds. So we got like this kind of pseudo answer. It was kind of like both. And apparently the judges got, if you're on the line in either direction, that's a penalty or a warning.
It should be the same for the front and the back.
I know.
Like, if you can step on the tape in the front, then you can step on the tape in the back. If you can't step on it on the back, then you shouldn't be able to step on it on the front.
Exactly.
The
reason they gave is that it's harder to see the front, you know, because they don't have a line across. They should like have chalk or spray paint or something.
That's not hard to do.
Yeah. To give us a line. It can't be tape, but it could be something for that.
Mm-hmm.
So judging for the most, so still a little inconsistencies, but for the most part, like, they were good. They were on me for my burpees, where the last race in the States, the burpees were still kind of a mess, but this time it seemed like the burpees were in order and like appropriate.
Agreed.
Yeah. And we're used to being grilled now. In Vienna, we weren't used to getting grilled like that.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing, you know, I need to give Hyrox a shout out because I don't know if they listened to our pod. They seemed to have really listened to us as athletes, because that was one thing that I specifically complained about in our pod about the Vienna race, where when the judge is talking to you the whole time about every rep, it is very difficult in the moment for me to understand, are you telling me this is a good rep or not a good rep?
Right.
When you're telling me, watch your hands, I don't, is that a good rep or is that not a good rep? That is very unclear. And that was what my judge in Vienna was telling me almost every single one.
Same.
And I was like, what the fuck did that mean? And it automatically slows you down, which, you know, you're not trying to do, obviously. So they were very good about saying, like, we told them not to say anything unless it's going to be a warning or it's like right before a warning's coming. Like, hey, the next one is a warning or whatever. And they really, at my judges that I had, and I had a few different ones just based on how the race was going, they were all very good about that. So I must say, it seemed like there was much better communication with them on like how they should approach it, which is appreciated. So agreed. Throwing that out there.
And it, I mean, it's getting better. It's every major, there's been improvements in some direction or another.
Yes.
I felt so like not only are they trying to make this thing better as they go along, but at like from race to race, they are like identifying things, turning them up. Like the have you not watched it at all, Kent? The live stream? Meg, did you watch it?
No.
You guys are good on it. I've watched it. It's really good. Like they have like this, the top of it is awesome. Like the way they come into it, it's actually like of like the Capitol building, and it's like Lauren talking about like what we are, what we're doing, like some real sports shit.
Love that.
Like, yeah. And they were talking about the stories of people going into it, and they had like B-roll, like they were shooting like people warming up, and they were like, oh, here's Chris Roglosky and here's her story. Like it was like real sports.
I saw that part.
Yeah.
I was like, cool. When we were watching before Meg's race.
Yeah. That was great. Yeah,
that was nice.
There was no B-roll in Meg?
They exclusively talked about you until that point. Relax.
Okay, fine.
No, I actually don't know. But you get talked about.
Yeah.
Getting love.
Mm-hmm.
So now, yeah. So now what? Now where are we at now? What do we got?
I did a doubles on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. It made me feel better about Friday night. I felt like I was doing a nice thing for somebody else by running that race. We actually ended up qualifying for the World Championships. So
it looked like you were having fun. You were like, yeah, we're out here. Yeah, and like finished and you were pumped up. Good feelings.
You know what? Genuinely, I think I needed that more than, like I said to Benny, like you think that you helped, that I helped you so much in this race, but like you actually helped me a ton. Like I really just needed a race like that. I was just having fun doing.
When was the last time that was?
I don't know, because I could. I don't know why. I feel like the tears are coming. I'm gonna try and suck them in.
We're getting the
doubles. Doubles has a way of doing that, you know.
Doubles is so fun. And it was just really nice, like doing a race with no pressure. I think this is a new, like I'm on this really cool journey. And as awesome and amazing as it is, and this is literally my dream for this to be happening to where I can be doing this professionally. There's also a different weight that comes with that. That I might not have felt before, you know, and especially one spot. Oh my fucking God, I'm doing it. Especially when sponsors start coming in and you're starting to get opportunities. And it's like, I am so grateful for where I've come from and how far I've come and that I'm even in this position. But then at the same time, my fear going forward, and I think I'm sure a lot of other athletes can relate to this, but there's that pressure then to perform because, you know, you might not get paid if you don't. And, you know, now that's a whole nother layer. It's like, it's not just the prize money for Hyrox anymore. It's
These companies are counting on you to represent their brand.
Exactly.
Get them recognition. Like, that's what they're paying you to do. And when you don't do it, it obviously feels pretty terrible.
It feels terrible. And I think it's something that actually someone else in this space said to me. And the quote was, nobody cares about anything but your last race. That's all that people care about. And you learn real quick when you have a bad day. Like, yeah, there's obviously people who have your back and support you, but you know, when you're not being talked about, you know, that's another, there's a lot of layers to it, you know? And I think, at the end of the day, we're all just people, you know, and I'm just a human mom, you know, that's, there's a lot of pressure with it at the same time. So that's something that I'm still learning. Truly, I'm only a year and a half into this, that I'm still learning how to deal with. So like just having that fun race on Saturday, like it just kind of alleviated a lot of that, maybe anxiety or like disappointment that I was feeling. Had a little bit of that worry as well, because he is the owner of ESM. So like, at least they got me probably.
They didn't drop you, not on the spot.
Well, they won't drop me now. No, I'm kidding. but you know, like.
Reminds you why you do it.
Yeah.
Just it's
and,
like,
and that's the reason that I started this.
Right.
And it's nice to be reminded of why you began to doing this to begin with. And you started because you loved it and you were passionate about it. I was no one. Nobody knew who I was except for Rich. My first race. And like, so now, you know, it was just like a nice reminder of like you do this because you love it and this is fun for you. So, that was really, and it was just really exciting seeing like how excited he was when we got the email yesterday or this morning that we got in. Like, he was so grateful for me. And I was like, no, dude, like, you have no idea how much like I needed that too. So it was just like a great moment. And then I did have a little FOMO that I didn't do GORUCK because I didn't know that all of the girls were doing GORUCK. And I was like, no one told me.
I had zero FOMO watching that race.
It looked pretty, it looked like it was a little painful.
Some of the athletes look good, but others were looking like, oof, this is truly,
yeah.
And like having to run with a weight, imagine dying hard and then you just have to keep going with this weight on your chest.
Yeah.
Can I say something? I don't know if your mic. No, something's going on with you. Can't even hear you now. And I want to hear your perspective on this because Kent's gone through, he's been through these similar things.
Am I in there?
There you are.
God damn. I tried on this podcast like four times.
Kent's way up on you on that. In that, I'm like, you guys are stretching away from me hard.
I'm tough girl Meg. I don't be fucking out of here.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
I have like 10 cries in the bank. For you guys, you guys are way ahead of me. I'm gonna
cry to Amy when we go off record.
I like when we landed in when I landed back in Colorado, like something hit me, and I put my hands in my face in my hands. I was in the middle seat, terrible seat, two like big dudes next to me, and I was just like, was like welling up because of like that feeling of it. And I was like, oh my god, I feel like fucking Kent right now. All right, weigh in on this, Ken, because I mean, you can relate. Like, I haven't had this type of pressure. Like, almost all pressure that I've that I feel is self imposed, right? And pressure in general is going to be self imposed one way or another. But there are outside forces. My outside forces are not as heavy as like what you two have had. In this space and Kent before even in OCR and everything.
Yeah. I mean, I've been dealing with this crap for a while. I'd like to say it doesn't faze me at this point, but I think I still think about it. But for me, the biggest weight that I feel And I've already had these conversations with Sarah since I've been back. It's just like that I feel like I let them down, you know, because I didn't provide financially for our family, you know, like that. I like, obviously, disappointing sponsors, like that part does suck. But for me, it's disappointing the people that I have to like see every single day.
Yeah.
Lost you again.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told you about this cord, dude. I got to like hold it here because
Mason was up in that cord. You got to watch him.
Yeah.
He will break those cords
and stuff.
We'll get you fresh. But
disappointing my family. Like that part hurts. And obviously she's like, you didn't disappoint us. And I'm like, well, like I didn't win. I mean, I won some money, but I didn't win the money that I wanted to get, you know? So that sucks. And as far as like the sponsor pressure, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of numb to it at this point, you know, like when the gun goes off, I'm not thinking about any of that stuff. Like, even if I'm on the start line and all of a sudden I'm like, oh man, I sure hope I can perform for ESN today. Once they send us off, that thought is so far lost and gone that it doesn't even like phase me. Like once the race goes, because I'm just so present, at least the last two races, I haven't been as present as I would have liked to have been. But, I'm usually so in the moment that the only thing I'm thinking about is what's happening around me, that like my brain can't even comprehend anything outside of what's happening in that moment, you know? And then if things don't go well, then I'm like, oh shit, man. Like you start to feel that weight of like, are they like, do they not like me anymore? You know, like thoughts like that. But again, I've been doing it for so long that like, I'm not surprised if something does happen, you know, like we just had Rich and I had a mutual sponsor that just kind of, we signed contracts for this year and then they came just last week or the week prior and said, hey, we're not going to be able to do this anymore. And we had already signed the contracts thinking that it's going to be this.
Yeah.
You know, we've got this money coming in and then boom, it's gone. And in the past that has bothered me, those kind of things, but I don't know. It's just business. I guess, at the end of the day.
It's like a little personal, but not, I don't think it's as personal as it like kind of seems.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I like the pressure. Like there's definitely part of it that does kind of stress me out a little bit, but I think I also need that pressure in order to perform at my best.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that makes any sense or not, but it's sort of king.
I've always been a person who like enjoys the pressure too, because I feel like it's like pressure is a privilege, right? Like, you know, if you had no pressure on you, it's like nobody probably thinks you're going to do it. You know what I mean? Like it's like people believe in you. And so that's that's a compliment, but at the same time, it is that like fear of like letting other people down, you know? I think more, maybe I mean it more in that way. Like, I don't want to be like letting anybody down that's like investing in me and believing in me and my journey. And again, it's just like, it's new and I'll deal with it and then I'll be fine. But it's just been an interesting experience recently. So yeah.
You're telling me.
Having Mila there was awesome.
That was so cool to meet her.
Could you hear her? I think I heard her on camera.
I could hear her. Mommy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe at Ski Erg or something.
At every station.
Oh my God, that's awesome. Hear her yelling at me. Like, I'm cramping. And honestly,
she really kept me going. You know, you can't quit and let her, you know, your kids see you like just giving up. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, You just can't do that. And then just getting to have her down there on the floor is a special moment, and just teaching her like just all those, you know, values. Like I laid down on the stage and like I was disappointed, you know, for myself. But then getting to show her like we rise and we go lift others up and we put our own feelings aside right now because someone else needs us. And like getting to go down there and cheer on Camilla, who's my girl, and Maria, who is one of my athletes, so that she's now my girl, and Amy, who I was so, oh my God, like hats off to Amy.
That was crazy.
I want, and this is nothing, you know, I'm so glad for Lauren Griffith. When I heard they were in that battle and I could hear them talking about it before the race was over, they were battling it out for that last spot. My heart for Amy was just like, Amy, you got to fucking do this. Like she came in as the 29th seed on a roll down. She's in her 50s. She has five kids to be in that spot and to have raced so well as just the most underdog person in that race. Like that was awesome. And just showing her like that stuff is important. So it's like, it was great that she got to like witness all of that. You know,
I don't know which athlete it was that dropped out that did not finish.
Rebecca Nather.
Nather, yeah. She's German, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm over in just kind of the athlete area stretching, just trying to focus on like what I'm about to go do. And I see her sitting over to the side. Make me cry now. Make myself cry. I see her sitting over to the side. And she's just kind of got her head between her legs. And I wasn't sure who it was, but I was like, she was sweaty and everything. And I'm like, she was clearly just running that Elite 15 race and it's still going on. And she's over here. So I took my headphones out and like something was calling me over there to go talk to her. And I walked over there and just, there was a little bit of a language barrier, but I was just confronting her, you know, like letting her know that it's okay, you know, and that there's going to be other racers. Yeah. And what did I say?
Confronting her. You're going to go over there and rip into her. It's like, are you kidding me? What are you doing?
And it just brought me, I think the reason it happened was because I dropped out of DECA Fit World Championships. And that felt terrible. It's literally dropping out of a race is one of the worst feelings ever. And then I almost did it in Vienna, but I just somehow overcame it and decided just to finish the race. So I just felt like I could relate to like what she was going through in that moment.
Yeah.
And went over there and comforted her. Now, Rich, I can't even say the damn
can't
word.
Even say that. Specificity.
Comforted her. And
that's so nice.
It just, I don't know, man. Like, it's much bigger than yourself. You know, like I feel like for much of my career, it's been just all about me. I've been selfish as anybody could be, trying to reach my goals. And I don't know. It feels good when you like help somebody out that needs it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think as athletes, we all can just, I don't know, we all know what it's like to deal with something like that, you know?
Absolutely.
So, and I think
you know, you're someday these times that we're running will be like nothing, you know? And we won't be remembered for that, but we'll be remembered for our character, you know? And that's, oh my God, I'm gonna do it again.
All right, I got a tally going here.
That's the legacy, you know? And that's the legacy that I want to be part of my story. Not just Meg was first woman to go sub 60, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, I also want it to be like, and she was a good person,
a big
competitor, like not just competitive, but supportive and uplifting and all those things. Because at the end of the day, like, we're all in this fight together and we all want to win. But at the same time, like, you know what it feels like to struggle and to not be having your day and having it not go your way. And so when you can just give someone that little 1% may boost that they maybe need just to get through those wall balls or whatever it is. And when I pass people on the runs, I try to say something to them too. Like, I'll say, go Alina. You know, when it was Camilla, I was saying it to her. I always say it to Miriam. Like, I do, if I can muster any words, I try to do that, because, you know, maybe that's just that one little boost that they need, you know, to keep fighting. And there are times when I,
as
know
you
I
fly by them
lapping.
Yeah.
Them.
Maybe, but, but you know what I mean?
Yes. It's like, yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. And it's a tough balance, right? Like, cause you mentioned, Ken, like, athletes do have to be a little bit selfish, like maybe a little bit more than a little bit, you know, if you really want to maximize what we're capable of doing out here. And taking it to a level that most people can't, because this is elite athletics, you have to be focused on yourself a lot of the time, right? But having those moments and being around the community, right? Like, that's something that was just one of the better parts of the weekend, is how many people are in our corner, you know?
Yeah.
And how happy people are when things go well, and how concerned people are when things don't. You know, it's like they care both ways. And, you know, we hope to be able to have an impact on athletes outside of our race results. And I feel like that's something that we are doing. And it's great to get out there and celebrate with these athletes of all different ability levels and ages and genders. It's just really rewarding from that end. So thank you for everybody who listens and who is out there and who do give us support, because it's really helpful.
Yes. Agreed.
So is that it?
Good talk, guys.
Does everybody feel better?
Good mindset.
I'm still pissed.
I feel great. I'm feeling great. He's got a chip on his shoulder now.
I've moved on past pissed.
Yeah. It was nice meeting your squad.
I know. We all had our families there.
So cool. So cool.
Like, that doesn't, for those listening, like, that does not happen for us often. Normally, right, these races are so far away that, you know, a lot of the times we go by ourselves and we link up at the races, but, you know, family doesn't always get to come. So the fact that they all got to come to the same one and got to meet each other, and, like, after the race, Rich and his family and my family, we went out to dinner. It was
awesome. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the, and just being there and being with our family, was like, no matter what happened in this race, didn't matter. You know, it's just a reason that we all were able to kind of come together and just like be happy and hanging out together. It was awesome. And my parents surprised me. I saw them before the start. I was like, oh my God, you guys are here. So that was really cool. Give me a little boost.
Your brother wasn't there, right?
No.
Okay. No. There was a guy standing with next to them at wall balls who like vaguely resembled you, and I was like,
huh,
is it? No, that's not your brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just a fam, just a mom and dad. They were wearing, my birthday's in March, and then like
decked out in Celtics gear,
all green.
Love it.
My birthday's on St. Patrick's Day, so green is like a thing.
Damn.
Yeah. And I learned the dude who does the emceeing, who brings us in. Do we know his name? Who was E-Rock? I'm talking about. His birthday's on St. Patrick's Day too. So if you see him in Houston, say happy birthday to him. I'm not going to Houston. I'm chilling. We're all chilling. No Houston for anybody, right?
No.
We don't need that. Where are we going to be next? Just training.
I'm going to be
in South Cackalack.
New York. So basically Worlds. I won't race again probably until just before Worlds.
Are you not going to Cologne?
I'll be in Cologne, but I'm not going to race.
We're not doubling there?
I thought we were doing like a ESN relay.
I'm not something. Just a relay. We're not doubling, then Benny and I will double, but...
You can double with Benny.
I thought you were going to try to do with Linda.
I asked. She and Viola talked about doing it, so... Viola was so she was so sweet. She was like, you guys should really do it.
Pick up Elena and battle.
Like, no. Like, that's...
Maybe Alex and I will go take the men's pro record.
And then me and Paya will break that in Anaheim. So
Zero chance.
What if Kent and I go and do the men's pro?
Now, I want to see. We got to see what you do on that. Yeah. I want to see you pull that sled, Meg, and do those wall balls, 10-foot target.
Yeah, it won't. The sled pull will move like an inch, and I'll be like, well, this was a terrible idea.
Kent's hands aren't strong enough to grip that new rope.
That was a problem for me. That was a problem, and I did not like it. Should've slick. So we'll fix that next time.
The rope, but I got real rough. My hands are pretty rough. They're in rough shape. So
my hands are jacked up right now from doing 50 by 200 meters on the ski erg. I legit have blisters on my hands.
I get them at the bottom, like here. Is where I'll get on the ski erg.
I threw gloves on like halfway through too, and it still got me.
Yeah, no, you only do like 250s at a time, truly, and then you're out doing other stuff. So, got to get those hands some work on that ski erg. Meg, did you do the open workout?
No. I had to work a double day today, so I did not get any of the...
Did you?
I did it.
What was your time?
Let me guess. Yes. Oh, I was going to say like 8:38.
8:29. Good guess. It's like fine.
What's the fastest female time right now?
I will tell you, I was going to bring this up because it's awesome. It is 5:39. I will give you three guesses on who it is, and I'll let you know that you personally know this person.
It's Lauren Weeks.
No.
5:39, and I personally know this person.
Yes.
Do I personally know this person?
Do I race against this?
You only get one clue. This ain't 20 questions.
Miriam.
It's Miriam.
Miriam Van Hork.
Kent said it first. She has the fastest time in the world right now. I think she won this workout.
Oh yeah, that's my crazy. God. So impressed.
Good for her.
You win money for that.
Miriam, shout out to you.
Shout out. 5:39 is crazy.
That's wild.
It looks like this at the top male was 5:19, the dude Colton Mertens, but he's like actually 5'3". So like his range of motion on both of those things. Like this was a short person workout.
Think their height like is playing into this.
Hell yeah. This is a big time short person workout.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty hard. It was make it do well. But it was my shoulders that started fatiguing. So I had to like kind of slow things down, especially on the snatches. To keep the burpee pace up.
Right.
So, yeah, your shoulder endurance is rock solid. So I think you would have done really well in this.
Yeah, just like, unfortunately, I should have tried to find a gym in DC yesterday, but in hindsight, I just like was not, I was in total mom mode. So was not thinking about that at all.
Also not a good altitude.
Your shoulders got lit.
They did.
From 50 pound.
And with burpees.
Snatches. Yeah, but there's only 45 reps.
Each arm,
but like 40.
It's 90 total.
It's 90 burpees, though, right?
It's 90 snatches, 90 burpees.
Brutal.
It was just because I knew, like, I could do all the snatches, but, like, I knew if I had to go and then go directly into burpees, like, I would have to kind of, like, be ready to do it, and that was where I was going to make up time with burpees. Like, I wasn't going to go that fast anyway, because it's, like, it's not as light to me as it is to these monsters, and I'm taller than most of these guys. So it's like, I just got to get through these and be able to hit these burpees well. It was pretty fun. Yeah. Happy I did it.
I'm going to try it. I just clearly can't be registered, so.
Yeah. So that's the workout of the week.
Gig. Yeah.
Open workout 24.1. Give it a shot.
Fun times.
All right. Anything else we need to plug? Check out the RMR app.
Oh,
get on doubles.
Listeners, I put the link in our Facebook group. I also posted it to our story today. We now have RMR merch.
Swag.
Let's go.
We got swag, hoodies, tees, tanks, you name it.
We'll toss that in the link.
March 14th at midnight to get your orders in. And that's then 10 the days. Store is closed.
Repeat
so
that.
You got 10 days. If
March
you want 14th. To
March 14th.
Rock some gear and rock the brand and support, we would appreciate it. So please do that if
do
you
it.
Want.
Do it. Please do that if you want. So we got that. We will I'll send out an email as well. We'll put that
awesome.
Link
you.
Down here in the show notes. But we got swag. It's been demanded, and we are giving people what they want. We need some of that too.
We do.
You need to grab
we do
some
need our swag.
So wear that swag. No weather swag. Drink Powerlift. Powerlift on site. We were looking great on those
yeah.
boards. I look. I put in my sportograph, whatever. You know how they do like the selfie, the facial yeah. recognition, and I got a couple of Nick, and I'm in the backdrop onto
that's
my thing.
Hilarious.
Yeah, like it picks up that.
Did they give out codes for us?
I have not bought them yet. I don't think they have yet.
No, I don't think so either. That was really cool. And just like they had some media guys on site. So the reels and the pictures they put together have been so cool.
Really
so
good.
That from Powerlift, it's always obviously great for us as athletes to have some nice professional content. But the guys that were shooting were so cool.
Great guys.
Great guys. They shoot at Invictus CrossFit often. So they get to see a lot of really high-end athletes. They were very impressed by our event, by the way. They were like, that was nasty. And I was like, yeah,
mm-hmm.
it felt nasty too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, cool getting that content.
Resolute Coffee, drink some of that. Check out the camps.
Yeah. Order it if you don't live in the U.S.
All, for our European-based athlete listeners, check out ESN. That it? Thanks. And this is RMR After Dark. Thanks for bearing with us. Like I said, our family was in town. We wanted to try to get together and do the pod in person. Our schedules didn't really line up. We had other priorities going on. We had to take care of ourselves and hang with the fam while we had the opportunity. So a little late on this episode, but appreciate you listening. And that'll be it.